תחת אשר לא עבדת את אדוני אלוהיך בשמחה ובטוב לבב מרוב כל. Because you didn't serve the Lord your God in joy and in goodness of heart from the abundance of everything. You know, we need to take a look at this verse that talks to us about Simcha, because the avoda of Adar, the divine service to which we're invited in Adar, is the service of Simcha, of joy. And you know, if we take a straightforward reading of this verse, which is offered to us by Rashi amongst others, it doesn't really speak to our issue, because it says basically you didn't serve God because you were too happy to serve your own needs. You know, that may be an important point of moral philosophy, the dangers of the good life, but it's an explanation for another time. Because the avod of Adar is Simcha, it is joy itself, and therefore, at least right now, we've got to find another way to read this verse. And unfortunately, as is usual, the Rambam is there for us. You know, at the end of the Laws of Lulav, the Rambam addresses the nature of the joy that we're meant to take in doing commandments. This is not a surprising location for such a thought, because the festival holidays in general, and Sukkot in particular, as the sages call it, Chag Simchatenu, the festival of our joy, are the location of the Torah's injunction to actually take joy. V'samachta b'chagecha, you should rejoice in your holidays. Which is in itself a worthwhile discussion of why God had to command us to be happy, but I think we can learn from the Rambam here something about the invitation that the sages offer us by indicating that Adar is a time to increase joy. The happiness with which a person should rejoice in the fulfillment of the mitzvot and the love of God who commanded them is a great service, says the Rambam. Avodah gdola me'od hi. And whoever holds himself back from this rejoicing is worthy of retribution. As the Torah says, because you did not serve God your Lord with happiness and a glad heart. That's our verse. So we see that the Rambam has an entirely different understanding than Rashi. Joy is not what prevented us from serving God. It's not the moral philosophical standpoint of look out for the dangers of the good life. Rather, the Rambam says that joy is the essential ingredient in all of our service, which, if missing, undermines everything that we do. The location of this verse is at the end of the curse in the book of Deuteronomy. That means that all of the evil which will befall us in our failures culminates because we did not serve God with joy. Now, truth is, this Rambam deserves a deep and extensive analysis unto itself. But for now, I want to focus on his characterization of joy as a great service. Ava avodah gdola me'od hi. So what is the avoda of Simcha? What's the work? And how can it transform our divine service? Rav Kook, in his work Musar Vicha, actually speaks about the avoda of Simcha. First, he says that the beginning of all avoda is that one should be bisimcha, one should be joyful, and tuv lev, and in a goodness or wholeness of heart, clearly referring to our verse. And, I believe, building on the Rambam's reading of it. He goes on to say that the work is not to force yourself to be in Simcha. He says there's many people who read these statements and think, okay, I gotta slap a smile on my face. I better have a cheery attitude because God said so, or because that's what I'm supposed to do in Adar. He says, rather, the work is lihishtalem ad sheyitye ra'uy aleihem ha'simcha b'avodat Hashem. Meaning, I have to perfect myself, I have to work on myself until the Simcha is appropriate to me, but appropriate to me in the way the Maharal uses the word ra'ui, a philosophical necessity. It is right. It is, in fact, an expression of who I am. That the work of Simcha at the first stage is to make it an expression of who I am and not what I perceive that I must do. Okay, but how do I do that? He goes on, he says, well, first of all, I have to understand that avodah, the idea of the ability to serve God, is an expression of what I am, in essence, and also, it's a path to what I desire to be, right? That's the gift of avodah. It's the path of service that opens to me something greater than I am, but which is nonetheless appropriate to me in my essence. It's what I will be. And understanding that I have such a gift is what brings Simcha, says Rav Kook. Because avodah, the very idea that I can serve God, points to the promise of the potential in myself of which even I can't imagine. Just imagine knowing one day that I'll fly. Even though I don't have wings, I feel the infinite potential within me, even though I cannot even conceive of how it will come to be. Ultimately, says Rav Kook, the joy of avodah is in knowing that it brings me closer to God. But not just closer to God, in a sort of prosaic sense, but rather, it teaches me that I can come closer to God by becoming more than I am, instead of having to reduce God to the image of something which I can conceive. It gives me an unending pathway to the infinite. But of course, this means that there's a level of work which has to precede that of actualizing my infinite potential in service of my Creator. I need to know. I need to know that God is there, and I need to know that God cares so much that He gave me this work to do. And this is why I believe the Maharal Prague defines simcha as the emotive state of emuna. When one has emuna, one experiences it as simcha. One, I should say rather, is in a state of emuna. The experience of that state is a state of simcha. You know, you can find the full discussion of his comments in the Gur Aryeh, his commentary on the Chumash in Bamidbar 2012, where he plumbs the depths of the failure that led Moshe to strike the rock. But for now, I'm going to accept his assertion and use it to open up a definition of emunah. You know, the intellect works largely through comprehension. When I grasp something, I don't have to continually re-know it. I've got it. And this means, in a sense, that I've brought that idea within me. Well, there's a danger here, because that means that everything which I comprehend is bounded by my ability to know. I have to shrink the world to fit my size in order to know it. Emunah is the obligation to apply my intellect to knowing everything, the whole creation, right up to the edge of its capabilities to comprehend. And then it poses a question. How do I relate intellectually to that which is too large for me to comprehend? When I reach that edge of knowing, then I attach myself to that which lies beyond my comprehension. In philosophical terms, this is the wisdom which begins with the acceptance that I can't know. And in Adar, we call it Ad Delo Yada. Now we can know the joy of avodah, which Rav Kook described. It's the joy of attachment to that which is beyond my comprehension, facilitated by the gift of receiving avodah, the path to an ever-expanding relationship. I grow, and God expands in my understanding based on the idea that I don't even know the half of it. In service of the infinite, I'm forever in growth. A last note. Should see that there's a freedom to be found in this emuna, and the joy which is its experience. It's the freedom from the limitations of knowing. The radical surprise of Purim, the nahafochu, the total revolution that it offers, is actually the first step in the liberation leading to Pesach. Now don't forget, the sages taught us that the tradition of studying the laws of Pesach 30 days before the Chag, Sholim V'Dorshin, comes to us from Moshe. That means that the 30 days before Pesach, Moshe began to speak about the festival of liberation, and 30 days before Pesach, of course, is Purim, which means that these 2 days were connected long before the events of the Megillah occurred. And when the world is no longer bound by my comprehension, but it's wide open in its possibilities and limited only by my willingness to attach myself to that which I do not yet know, then work is no longer labor, but it becomes a path to freedom, which brings newness of myself into the world. And in that sense, Purim is the first step in the process which leads to Sinai. The step in that process which transforms slavery into service, of avdut into avodah. So get to work out there, people, and be happy. If you like this Torah, you can find more of it in the Sounds of Sulam Yaakov on iTunes, on Stitcher. You can find our page on SoundCloud. You can check out sulamyaakov.com. You can send me an email at info@sulamyaakov.com, or you can come on down to the Beit Midrash and just say hi.